Brim Kruko from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks, and I am taking filling in for Billy Brim, who is in Israel right now. And as last week we were talking about the love of Christ, the love of God shed abroad in our heart, and how the basis of all prayer is on this love. And I was reading from F.F. Bosworth's book, Christ the Healer, and talking about intercession, which is the love of Christ. And so I'm going to read here, it's on page 74, about this compassion. And Bosworth said when you need a healing, it's good to meditate on his compassion and his love. And so last week we talked about how his love, his breath is boundless of his love. This is Ephesians 3. The length of his love is endless. The depths of his love is fathomless, exhaustless, and the height of his love is measureless. So, and we have this in us through the Holy Spirit. And we, as we meditate in this and we become so rich of his love, then nothing is impossible. And that's what it says in Ephesians. Glory. Nothing that we ask or think according to this love power that brings dunamis in us happens. We are conduits of his power. Hallelujah. So reading from Bosworth's book about this, this compassion. And he talks about how the scriptures talks about the Lord is full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. When I think of how the Lord so floods our hearts with his tender love, until in intercession for others, our hearts are too full of yearnings to utter their feelings, yearnings that cannot be uttered. I stand in awe and wonder what his compassion must be. A mother's compassion for her suffering child makes her not only willing to relieve the child, but to keep it from suffering she cannot. The Greek word sympathes, translated compassion, means to suffer with another. Accordingly, Isaiah says, in all their affliction he was afflicted. Is it not strange the wondrous fact of his mercy toward the sick, so clearly seen and applied during the darker ages of the Old Testament, should be overlooked and set aside? Christ has opened the way for the fullest possible manifestations of his mercy toward every phase of human need. And so in his salvation that he brought to mankind, that spirit, soul, and body, and it says he saw the travail of his soul, and he saw the travail of his soul and was satisfied. And so when we are praying, you know, the enemy is the god of this earth, and he doesn't want the travail of Christ's soul to be satisfied in people, in their bodies, in health and healing. But he has made it possible. And when we pray and the Holy Spirit takes up with us in this love, as we meditate who love is, what love is, and we, the Holy Spirit will take us and we will feel, sense, I guess is a better word, in our spirit, not of the natural, a groaning, a travail of this love, his love for, as we pray. It says that for us to pray at all times for our saint, for the saints and for people and for the world. And as we give ourselves to this love, whatever the Lord wants to bring forth, it is to bring praise and glory to the manifestation, not in the here by and by, but now on this earth, as we give ourselves in that high priest love, flowing, him flowing in us as the body of Christ, as temples. I remember a story of John G. Lake and how a woman was sick, very sick, and it was in Africa, and he could hear the screams as he walked. He'd prayed for her several times, but they had said she had a bad spell. I can't remember the details. And he said he heard her scream with agony, and the compassion of the Holy God came through him on through the Holy Spirit. And he went on there and he prayed in that compassion, and instantly she was whole. And he said the greatest power is the compassion of Jesus Christ. Well, we know that is love. And that is what he did for all us at Calvary. And as we give ourselves into it, he uses us as instruments to bring forth this love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what it says in Ephesians 3. Glory. And this love, there is no measure to it. It reaches to the depths of sin, to the highest part of divinity, and the depth. Death, burial, and resurrection is what all prayer is based on. So I want to read a little bit more about this love in this book. And he talks about how, as an evangelical tool, that this compassion is the greatest power of all. And I'm looking here for that story about this that happened on one of his friends. And the effect of present day healings. Our last revival preceding the writing of this book, this is F.F. Bosworth, Christ the Healer. I was conducting a meeting in Ottawa, Canada. During the 7 weeks of the meeting, 6,000 came for healing and about 12,000 for salvation. I doubt if there would have been more than 1,000 for salvation had it not been for the miracles of healings which displayed the compassion of the Lord. And that's what he taught. He taught the compassion of the Lord. He said, it's so interesting that it said, God is love. It didn't say God is power. We know he is power. But it said he is love. Why? Because the love is the power. The city and the country were stirred as never before in its history. The largest crowds that ever gathered under one roof for religious meetings in this capital of Canada filled the newly built million-dollar auditorium. This is the largest building in the city. The audience ran as high as 10,000 in a single service. Before leaving the city, many hundreds of written testimonies were received. Those healed from almost every kind of disease and affliction told of what God had done. To God be all the glory. And that is what all anything is all about. To God be all the glory. One Baptist evangelist, who among other evangelists has now proved this to be true, has written in one of 10 pamphlets he has published on the subject that healing is the greatest evangelizing agency that the Lord ever used. He said that he would not return to the old way for all the money in America. Praise God. So the compassion is what our high priest is compassionate. In John 14, 12 through 13, he emphatically taught and promised that the same mercy and compassion could reach the people through our prayers, while Jesus Christ is our compassionate high priest, and as we operate in him. Hallelujah. He told him, it's expedient that I go. Why? Because his going away would bring the manifestation of his compassion in healing. And that is through the gifts and the operation and faith in his word through the Holy Spirit. In healing, in his love. So those things are kind of what I was bringing forth on talking about this love and this compassion. And I want to kind of bring that in with him being our high priest. And Brother Bosworth brings that in too. He says, Jesus, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will glorify me, Jesus, the Spirit of the Holy Spirit. Could the Spirit glorify Christ to the sick by telling them that the age of miracles is past? He promised to do these works and greater works during this age. This is the age we're in, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Would it glorify Jesus if since his exaltation he withdrew or modified his ministry to the sick? Has the Spirit come to magnify Christ by modifying his ministry? Is Christ their high priest? If so, then the common practice of praying for the sick and patience to bear the affliction is right, then something is wrong. It is since he is our high priest that he speaks from heaven, saying, he that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Men are saying today that the Spirit, some men, has never said and is the opposite of what he does. The following are a few of the things that Jesus says for the Spirit says for the purpose of glorifying Christ. That's what it's all about. Wherefore, in all things, this is Hebrews 2, verse 17. In all things, this is our high priest. Remember, we're in him. I know you know this, but we talked about that last week, talking about I'm in him and he's in me. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like his brethren, that he may be a merciful, compassionate, and faithful high priest. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. We just thank you, Lord, for the ministry of healings, the ministry, Father, of the gifts of the Holy Spirit in operation in the church. We thank you, Father, for that which you have ordained, that you are revealing Jesus to your body, his compassion, Father, his love through us and in us for others, but for ourselves. It is so important to have a realization, a manifestation of him and his love for you. During the conference, the Lord had us through the direction of Brother Gene Wiseman, who works in the office of the prophetic. He said of what he called intimate praying. He said, this is when you get alone with Jesus and just it's him and you and him, and you just praise him. You don't ask him for anything, but you just worship him. And then you wait for him to speak to you in the quiet times, in the quietness. And then you wait, and then you praise him, and then you wait for him to talk to you. And this is what the relationship the Bible compares it to, a man and a wife. There's a two-way conversation. And sometimes we just get caught up in the one-way conversation. But as we are in Christ and he is in us, there's two conversations. And what happens is they become together. As you speak to him, then he comes and speaks to you. And then you become one and you become entwined. And this makes your prayer so much powerful when you pray in him. When you operate in him, when you operate in his love, when you operate in his power, then you will begin to see things change around you. It's so important when you start operating in this that you, as my mother has taught so many times, about knowing your authority, because the devil has fought this. He does not want the church to know about this relationship, this love relationship between his body on the individual level especially. And he will try to fight you, but you take your seat every morning and you say, I take my seat in Christ far above principality, power, might, and dominion. And then you say, I hold the blood of Jesus, and you name your loved ones. And I hold the blood of Jesus over this day, whatever day that is. And you say, November 25th, 2012, I hold the blood of Jesus over this day. Satan, you will not have your way today. In Jesus' name, Jesus in me, I walk in him. I dedicate this day unto him, my mind, my heart first, and my mind, my will unto him. Let it bring glory to him. Let my temple bring glory to him. Let everything I do and say today bring glory to him. So anyway, that's what we have for today. God bless you. We love you. Everything you do, you remember, you're in him and he's in you. Shalom.